This is the Ask Chef Jacob Podcast, episode 27, questions about the three modern mother sauces and demi-glace. Episode of Ask Chef Jacob. Find online at AskChefJacob.com or of the StellaCulinary.com podcast network. My name is Jacob Burton, and I am here to answer any and all of your culinary questions. Wet the whistle there. You'd think I would do that before I actually hit the record button, but nope. I wait till I record to take a sip of my water. Sorry about that. All right, so in this episode, I will be answering questions, or a question that was really good and kind of in-depth that came in through my YouTube channel. Now, on YouTube, I have, and also on StellaCulinary.com, and I will put a link in the show notes to this, I have my video lecture on the three modern mother sauces. And I take about a half hour to go through this video with my doodle board, my markers, and explain my take on sauce making, which I call the three modern mother sauces. And I will put a link to that in this episode show notes, which you can find at StellaCulinary.com/ACJ27, and that will drop you into this episode show notes. Now, to give you a brief overview, when I went to culinary school, the core of their sauce-making curriculum was the five French mother sauces. And they're very redundant, and they're not really used very much in professional kitchens, and they all kind of are just really a backwards approach to learning sauce-making technique. You know, you really kind of miss the forest for the trees. It's like, you know, if you make enough of these recipes, after a while you kind of... you see that all the derivatives are basically the same, the techniques are fairly the same, and it's just really just, you know, painting flavor structure and technique on top, and, you know, it's just like, it's a real shitty way to teach people how to make sauces. So when I was developing my curriculum, the S-Step curriculum, which I teach in my culinary boot camps, which is available online at StellaCulinary.com, click on the shop tab at the top, I was thinking to myself, well, look, you know, what's the most impactful way to teach people sauce making, right? And when I sat down and thought about it, for me, the sauces, so all cooking, in my opinion, my philosophy is that all cooking is basically two things. Any dish that you ever create, any recipe you ever create, it's just, it boils down to two components. It's you have your flavor structure and you have your technique. Now, once you understand proper technique, you're just taking that technique and you're painting flavor structure over the top. So with sauce making, I thought to myself, well, what are really the techniques that make up sauce making? So if I just imagined any random sauce, just making it up, or you know, a classic sauce that I wanted to make, you know, what are the techniques that I would need to make any sauce I could ever think of? And when I sat down to really think about it, I realized that there's only three sauce techniques that you would make. There's only three techniques, really, to make any sauce you could ever imagine. And even then, the techniques that you use kind of, they co-mingle a lot. There's a lot of gray area between them, so it's not even like, you know, so it's like three techniques that are really very similar. And those three techniques are reductions, emulsifications, and purees. So any tech or any sauce you could ever think of is going to use one or more of those three techniques. So to make any sauce that you could ever want to make, you only have to learn and master three techniques, and then you just start painting flavor structure over the top, right? You master the technique first. Then it's just deciding, you know, what flavor do I want my emulsion to be? You know, what flavor do I want my demi-glace or my reduction sauce to be? So you're just painting flavor structure over the top. So I explain this in my video, which I'll link in the show notes. And it's such a good video, if I do say so myself, that I think I'm eventually going to, like, I'm going to take it offline and put it in a private members area or something like that. Because the video is just too damn good to just hang out there for free. Right? I got to be smart about this stuff. I got bills to pay. But for now, you can actually listen to or watch this lecture video on my YouTube channel, which is where I got this question from. So it's Joyoruzaburu. I don't know. That's my best guess at pronouncing the YouTube name. I apologize. I just totally butchered it. But this person says, exceptional video. Thank you so much for the detailed and even scientific analysis of sauce making. My main question for you is ratios. What is the ratio of bone, veg, water for a stock, for a demi-glace, etc.? I have always done my stocks well, but they always taste watery and boring. I feel like there's a ratio in general that should be discussed. Just as a roux is usually 1 tablespoon of fat to 1 tablespoon of flour, I feel like there's a bone to water ratio for a rich, flavorful stock. I think it's denial on my end that keeps me from accepting this true ratio. When I spend $20 on beef bones, about 5 pounds, I want this to be enough for one pot or for one. Oh, enough bones for a pot full of rich stock. It rarely is. No, it never will be. Seems to me that what we are looking for is about 5 pounds of bone material for one cup of true stock. I haven't done the work yet for this to prove it, and I hesitate because that will mean I'm spending $40 for a pot full of true stock. Okay, so let's stop there. First of all, what you're talking about is, so to make a, let me stop for a second. When it comes to stock making, we cover it in detail in the Stella Culinary School podcast, episodes 2 and 3. So I will put a link in the show notes to those, but the short codes for that will be stellaculinary.com/SCS2 or /SCS3. And that will take you through a lot of the ratios and the technique for making a stock. And I spend, between the two episodes, I think I spent over an hour and a half talking about stock making. So, you know, and that's why I have those episodes there. I don't want to rehash that here in this conversation because it just get way too long. So what I want to touch on is to answer the question of your stock making ratio as far as how much water do you add and then saying that your stock is watery. Now, in general, I will make my stocks in a tall stock pot. You know, so they're not going to overly evaporate. And I will add just enough water to cover by a couple of inches at most. Sometimes I'm just covering by about an inch of water. So I really want my stock pot to be filled with bones and then just barely covered with water. Now, the ratio of vegetables to bones that I normally use is 10 to 1. So for every 10 pounds of bones, I'm going to have 1 pound of vegetables. And these vegetables are mirepoix, and it could be really anything. And we go over all the different variations of vegetables in our stock making podcast episode. But mirepoix, the classic ratio is 2 parts onion to 1 part celery to 1 part carrot. So, you know, and if you're making a stock with 10 pounds of veal bones, you're going to have 8 ounces of onions, 4 ounces of celery, 4 ounces of carrots. Okay, and then you add, you know, some black peppercorns, parsley stems, sometimes a clove, sometimes roasted tomato paste. Now, roasting your bones is gonna add some depth of flavor. It's gonna add some richness. Also, roasting your mirepoix or your vegetables will add richness and depth of flavor. But stock for me is always a base. Right, you never use stock as is because stock does come out slightly bland. And if you take your stock and you just add some salt, you add some seasoning or some umami ingredients like fish sauce or soy sauce. You can even throw in some dried shiitake mushrooms. Right, all of these things will add umami, which will give depth of flavor to this stock. And the salt or the seasoning is going to add flavor, but you never add salt to a stock because a stock is always used as a ingredient later on down the production line. So when I'm making a stock, I'm going to strain that stock and I'll normally reduce it. Now, even if I'm using that stock to make a braise or make a soup, I'm still going to reduce and reinforce, which means it will usually almost always go through a reduction and reinforcement step where I'm adding additional flavors. So as I'm reducing that stock to concentrate the flavors that are already in there, I will also add more mirepoix, more spices, whatever it is that I want to really pop out in that stock that I'm making it. Now, in classic French cuisine, a demi-glace is an actual definition for the direct translation is half glaze. But in look at Escoffier's cookbook, a demi-glace is brown sauce, or equal parts brown sauce, which is basically a brown stock thick with brown roux. So brown sauce, or sauce espagnole, plus the same amount of a roasted veal stock reduced by half. So that's a half glaze. And as you reduce this sauce over an extended period of time, it throws off the proteins from the flour, which allows the sauce to become more glossy, and it'll slowly thicken through evaporation, right? So it's a really old school sauce to make. Now, in modern terms, and the reason why I'm breezing over this is because I have a whole episode on Espagnol. It's part of our five French mother sauce series. So I will also put a link to that in the show notes. So the point being that in classic French cuisine, a demi-glace was a half glaze and it was roux thickened, right? So it's giving you a heavier flavor. It's not as bright as a modern demi-glace. Now, a modern demi-glace is more like a glace de viande. A modern demi-glace is a full reduction sauce. So even though demi-glace means half glaze, in the kitchen terminology that's thrown around in restaurants today, a demi-glace just means a sauce that has been thickened fully through reduction, a meat-based sauce that has been thickened fully through reduction, which in Escoffier's time, who, Escoffier came up with the classic French sauce making, or he really kind of codified it, him and Carême, a demi-glace meant a half glaze. But when I say demi-glace, or when my chef buddies say demi-glace, what we're talking about is almost always a veal stock, a roasted veal stock, that we reduce down to about minimum 1/8 its original volume until it is thick enough to coat the back of a spoon, a stage which we call nappe, where it will glaze the back of a spoon so it's now thick enough to use as a sauce. And that's where a lot of the confusion comes in, because a demi-glace in modern terms is no longer a half glaze. It is now a full reduction sauce. And there's a process that you want to go through to reach that stage. Now, you're talking about, so when you make a stock right now, it's not that full of flavor, right? It doesn't have a whole lot of body. It's not super thick. Well, that's because it has yet to go through the reduction process. And you will see that in the videos that I link in the show notes, and also as I talk about the reduction sauces as one of the three modern mother sauces in my video, you will see that I'm constantly going through and reinforcing flavors as I'm reducing. So when I take my veal stock that I just made, I'm going to reduce and reinforce, reduce and reinforce, reduce and reinforce. So every time I am reducing that stock, I'm adding fresh ingredients. I'm adding roasted meat trimmings. I'm adding more bones. I'm adding more vegetables. Now, for veal stock specifically, or really any reduction sauce, right? For any reduction sauce that is stock-based, you need gelatin to thicken it. And that gelatin is going to come naturally from the bones that you use to make that stock. Now, when you make a chicken stock, where you cook that chicken stock for, say, 8 hours, those bones are fairly delicate. So the 6 to 8 hours cooking time that's called for a chicken stock is going to extract almost all of the collagen, which is a triple helix of gelatin. It will extract all of the gelatin from the bones, right? And that will now be in your stock. Now, after about 12 hours of simmering veal or beef bones, you've extracted most of the flavor, but you've only extracted about 60% of the gelatin. So that's why in professional kitchens, we'll do what's called a second run or a remillage, where we will strain off that first stock and we'll reserve it. And then we will add in fresh water enough to cover those spent bones and some fresh mirepoix. And we will run the stock again for about another 8 hours. And what that does is it makes a weaker flavored stock, but what we're doing is we are extracting the rest of the collagen, which later turns into gelatin, into our stock, right? So, and we need that later on for thickening, for our mouthfeel, because again, we're not using a starch thickener. We're not using cornstarch. We're not using a roux. We're using the gelatin inherent in our stock to thicken our sauces, our full reductions. So the more gelatin we can extract, the more we can, or the less we have to reduce the sauce later on, and the more it will yield. But still, I mean, even if you do a full extraction on the gelatin contained within your veal bones, you're really looking at a minimum of 1/8 the original volume of stock to create a reduction sauce, to create a gloss de viande, or what we call colloquially a demi-gloss. So for your veal bone specifically, which you're spending a lot of money on, I would definitely recommend doing a second running. Also, too, I find that you can get a better flavor out of stocks by pressure cooker, or by pressure cookering them, by pressure cooking them. Okay, there we go. You can get a better flavor by pressure cooking the bones and the stock, right? So, you do the exact same approach for, in the stock making video that I link to in the show notes. You can, make the stock the exact same way, except this time you put it in a pressure cooker, and instead of cooking your veal stock for 8 to 12 hours, you're cooking it for about 90 minutes, all right? And you let it drop in pressure naturally, and that's going to reserve a lot of the flavors in that stock, and you're going to end up with a really delicious stock. And you take that stock, and then you reinforce and reduce it, and you're going to concentrate those flavors even more, giving you a really, really nice demi-gloss. So I believe, I'm just looking over the question here to make sure I answer everything, but I believe that answers your question. So just to recap, because I know we kind of covered a lot. Number one, listen to the Stocks podcast in the Stella Culinary School podcast series, which I'll link to in the show notes. Then you might want to listen to the Five French Mother Sauce series. So there's a lot of stuff to listen to here to kind of get background on this question. But then when you're looking at making a good flavored stock, you want to make sure that you're using a lot of bones and basically just covering with water, just enough to cover with water. If you want to really upgrade the flavor of your stock, then I would recommend a pressure cooker. Also, too, specifically when working with beef bones or veal bones, make sure you do a second running or a remillage, where you make a second stock with your cooked veal bones to extract the full gelatin that those veal bones contain. Because later on, when you're reducing that down to make a sauce or to make a glaze, that gelatin is going to aid in the thickening, so you'll have to reduce less. Now, to kind of see this whole thing in action, this whole process of going from stock to reinforcing a demi-gloss, I'll actually put a series of videos together that I've already shot. I mean, they're already published, but in the show notes, I recommend you watch our veal stock video so you can get a sense of the veal stock. Then you watch our reinforcement and reduction video that I demonstrate using chicken stock, but you can use veal stock, pork stock, whatever it is that the type of stock that you're using is just the flavor structure, right? Pork, veal, chicken. The technique is reduction and reinforcement. And then I will take that stock and that's being reinforced and reduced, so it's concentrated in flavor, and you can then use that to braise short ribs and then turn that into a short rib glaze, which I'll put a link to that video in the show notes. Or you can do a pan roasting plus pan reduction technique, where you pan roast a steak, you finish in the oven, you pull it off, you got that fond, and you make a pan sauce using some shallots, red wine, and your reinforced and reduced sauce. So we really do have a ton of content on sauce making on stellaculinary.com. And if you haven't yet, definitely watch the three modern mother sauce video because that's probably the first one you want to watch, because that's what this entire question was based off of. So if you're feeling a little bit lost right now, go ahead and watch that video, and then you can come back and revisit this podcast after you've done that. And you've also listened to our Stocks podcast and our three or five French Mother Sauce podcast series. But tons of content on sauce making on stellacolonial.com. And so that's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. This episode's show notes can be found at stellacolonary.com/ACJ27. There's also a comment box there. So if you have any follow-up questions to this episode or you want to leave a comment, you can do so there. Also, make sure you check out our 3 Modern Mother Sauce lecture video, which this podcast was based on. And you can find that in this episode's show notes. And the F-Step curriculum, which the 3 Modern Mother Sauces is built around. Flavor structure plus technique can be downloaded at stellacolonial.com. Just click on the shop link at the top of the page. If you have a question of your own, you can email me the question, jacob@stellacolonial.com, or you can ask it by going to stellacolonial.com/ACJ and leaving me a voice message there. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.